Tonight starts our summer series, like Phil said, with the heroes of faith. Tonight we're going to be talking about Daniel. So one of the things about Daniel that we're all familiar with, I'm sure, is the lion's den. And we're familiar with the fiery furnace. And whenever I speak about Daniel, I oftentimes go straight to them too and I single them out. But Daniel is jam-packed with times of faith for Daniel. And so I decided to go a little bit of a different route tonight. I did start this sermon with Daniel's in the lion's den. That's why the slide is Daniel in the lion's den. And then I decided not to change it. So if you're wondering why that's like that, that's why. I just got to the point. I just said, well, I'm just going to leave it. So, but that's what that is for. But tonight I want to talk about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel went to interpret it. And so before I get going tonight, I just wanted to make an announcement real quick. The new cards for Kids Sing. We're starting Sunday night. They're up here. Some on that side, some on this side. So adults or young people, make sure you grab one of these so you're ready for Sunday night. There was something else, but I'll remember later on. Let's jump into this. So there's three points that I want to cover tonight about the book of Daniel chapter 2. That's where we're going to be at, Daniel chapter 2. Number one, we're going to notice Daniel's faith. Of course, tonight we're talking about the heroes of faith and why did Daniel be classified in the book of Hebrews as a hero of faith. We're going to notice that. We're going to notice about Daniel's friendships, the friends that he had, his companions, the ones that were close by his side. Who did he choose to hang out with? Who did he choose to go to for support? And then finally, we're going to talk about Daniel's favor that God gave to him at the end. So that's what I was going to remember to tell you. Sunday, I couldn't read the PowerPoint. And so Anna said, well, try to find your glasses. I put them somewhere. I don't know where I put them, and I found them. So let me put these jokers on here. Oh, yeah, there we go. I can't see. I guess I'm just getting old. I don't know what it is. My eyes, I could not see that screen Sunday. I was trying everything, squinting and everything. So let's notice, what do you do when you are faced with a trying time or a situation that you feel is difficult or impossible? And so that's going to be the question that's revolved around tonight's message of Daniel, a hero of faith. Each one in this room and those who are watching go through things in their life. We go through trials. We go through tribulations, we go through temptation, we go through struggles, but how do we handle that? How do we overcome that? And what do we do in time of worry, in a time of the uncertain? Where do we go? How do we react? And so that's a question that's going to be revolving around tonight's message. What do we do when we are faced with a difficult or impossible situation? Now, something about our personal lives, I know that I don't go what you go through, and you don't go what I go through. So we're all individual in these things. And oftentimes, we feel as though our situations are impossible to overcome. We feel as though whatever we are going through in our life, it can never be better. We're stuck where we're at. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. And one thing that I definitely want us to notice tonight, I'm going to say it now and I'm going to say it again, is that through God, anything is possible. By putting faith in God, by showing your trust in God, anything is possible. And the things that Daniel went through, we're going to notice that he had a choice. He could have went one way and went to the worldly view and said, you know what, I'm done. Or he could have went the route he did go and turned to God and show the faith that he had and the trust that he had in God. So ask yourself, what do I do when I'm faced with a difficult or quote-unquote impossible situation? I want to notice the background of the story that we're going to be into tonight. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him, and that the king gave a command to call the musicians, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king of his dreams. So they came and they stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Daniel was brought to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, him and his friends. Nebuchadnezzar had a mindset. He wanted to be the top dog. He wanted to be in control of everything. He was, in this moment, was bringing Daniel and his friends. And what Nebuchadnezzar was going to try to do was he was bringing these young people here. Remember, the captivity that was taking place was the worst that they've ever seen. And Nebuchadnezzar brings them. And in his mind, Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to basically brainwash them to believe what I believe and go the route that I go. Send them back so he can do the same thing. It's going to be a trickle effect. And so that's what I want us to see is that Daniel had this constantly beating him against the head that someone is trying to teach him against what he knows is the law and the commandments of God. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar did not know what this dream was. And he was really, really upset that he couldn't figure it out. There was a tall statue, and the top of the statue was gold. The chest and the shoulder, the chest and the shoulders were silver. The belly to the waist was bronze, and then from the legs were going to be iron, and then the bottom was going to be an iron clay mixture, and that was going to be Babylon, and it was going to be Greece, and it was going to be Rome, and it was going to be the Medo-Persian empires, and it was trying to symbolize that the bottom of that was made out of clay, and that it was going to crumble, and that it was going to bring down all the rest of those kingdoms, and that God's kingdom was going to last forever. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 44, he says that there's only one kingdom that's going to stand forever. There's only one kingdom that's going to be there for the test of time, and that's the kingdom that God Christ establishes down the road. And so, but this is the dream that he had. What does this mean? What does this mean to me that I had this dream and I want to know? And so the reason why he called all these people was because he did not want to go to the God of heavens. He was going to a worldly source to try to find out the answer to his problem. He said, okay, well, if the magicians couldn't tell me what it is, then certainly the sorcerers could. And if they can't tell me, certainly the extortionists can. And if they can't tell me, certainly the Chaldeans can. And so he was going to all these worldly sources trying to figure out, what does this dream mean? And so there's some things that I want us to remember. Again, this is the king who brought Daniel and his friends to Babylon, and the king here had a problem, and he went, like I said, to a worldly source to find help. And so the answer to go back to our original question, what do we do in times of a troubling or a difficult or impossible decision situation? What do we do in that time? Do we go to a worldly source? Do we go to Google? Do we go to all these worldly places, or do we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask him to guide us through that situation? And so the king here, who the ruler of all at this time, went and he said, I'm going to the world for some help. Notice the story that we're going to be into tonight. This is Daniel chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, and then also 10 through 11. Then the Chaldean said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. Now, what they're trying to do is buy themselves the time. They know they can't interpret this. They understand, okay, we got to buy some time because the king's about to blow off the handle. And he said, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your house should be laid in ruins. Okay. The pressure is on. Right? Can you imagine someone coming to you and saying, hey, listen, I had a dream, and I want you to tell me what the dream means. And if you don't, I'm just going to go ahead and tear you limb to limb. And then I'm going to go to your house and I'm going to burn it down. Can you imagine that? And this is what's going on. And these guys are going, we have to buy some time because this is what this guy's going to do. And he says, but if you show me the dream and the interpretation, he says, this is what you're going to receive. Gifts and rewards and great honor. So it's a one here, one here. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. Verse 4, the king seemed to have his doubts about these magicians. He didn't feel as though they knew the answer. He felt as though they were trying to buy him some time. He gives them those two options. And if you can tell me the dream, you're going to have gift, reward, and great honor. So Nebuchadnezzar had the worldly and godly view in his mind, right? He had the worldly, I'm going to rip you apart and I'm going to burn your house down. Or he went to this side and he says, you're going to have great honor, you're going to have gifts, you're going to have a reward, right? And so we go on to verse number 10 of this text, of Daniel chapter 2. The Chaldeans answered the king and he said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demands. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any musician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh. Notice verse number 12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious. So now he's starting to get mad. And he says, I want you to go, and I want you to get all the wise men of Babylon, and I want you to destroy them, which would have been Daniel and his friends. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill him. So now Daniel is faced with a situation. The situation that Daniel is faced with is, okay, I have got to figure out why the king is being so harsh with us. I had to find out what's going on here and how do I interpret this dream. Now, Daniel has a situation on his hands. He has a difficult or some way say an impossible situation in a worldly mindset. I have an impossible situation. I cannot interpret dreams. Daniel was a prophet, but at this moment, he had to have faith in God that God would give him what that dream meant. And Daniel said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Daniel said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and get to my God in prayer. I'm going to try to answer a question ask him a question as to what this dream means and try to get us out of this. Here's what he could have done, but he did not do. Notice this. He was faced with a difficult or an impossible situation, and he could have done a lot of different things. Number one, he could have said, here's the deal. We got the decree. We're going to die. Let's just hang out. Let's enjoy the last couple minutes of our life till they come and get us, right? He could have played the game card where he says, oh, woe unto me. Nothing I can do. It's impossible. I'm just going to play the pity card, right? He could have whined and cried and said that this is wrong. What did Daniel do? Daniel is the only person in the Bible, well, one of the only people in the Bible, nothing is negative said about him. He was a righteous, upright, humble man. And now at this moment, he's coming to him saying, I'm about to die because the king made a decree. And he says, I could have played the pity party. He could have ran away, right? He could have got his friends and said, all right, here's the deal, guys. This is not a joke. Get in the horse and buggy, whatever they had, and let's roll. But instead, he said, this is what we're going to do. Verse number 14, then Daniel replied with prejudice and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, he said, hey, listen, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Why is this such a big deal? And he came back and he said, I'm going to make this matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went and requested the king to anoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to the house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, pray to God of heaven, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So here's what I want us to notice tonight. This was the story. Number one, Daniel's faith. He sought mercies from the God of heaven. Daniel didn't go and say, hey, listen, magicians, what do you know about this? Give me something that I can go back to the king with. He didn't go to the worldly sources and try to get an answer. The first thing that he says is, I'm going to go to the God of heaven. Now remember, Daniel was told, you're going to bow down before a golden image, and if you don't do that, you are going to be thrown in the furnace. This is nothing new. He wasn't playing the worldly card. He already would have died to not bow down to a golden image. And so this was, he had faith that God was going to give him out of this. Daniel chose his friends wisely. He had friends that he could go to. What kind of friends do we have? What kind of companions do we associate ourselves with in situations like this? Do we have people that we can go to and say, hey, listen, I need to talk to you and have a godly, a biblical, or spiritual relationship with one another? Daniel's favor, God gave him counsel and God gave him wisdom. God took care of him. He helped him through the situation. Notice what Daniel's faith entitles here in the book. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3. Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3. Daniel was a man of prayer. 6 and verse number 10. And even though Daniel was a godly man of integrity and prayer, he also knew the necessity of having good godly friends. Daniel was a popular man. He wouldn't have an issue with choosing friends. But whenever you try to follow God and not of the world and you don't give in to what is taking place around you, it really shows your faith in God. It really shows the kind of person that you are. When everyone around you is caving in to the thoughts and the mindset of a certain thing that you know is not scriptural, you know that it's not what God had commanded for you, and people are following towards that, and you take a stand and say, no, God said this is the way it is, whether I'm by myself or not, I am standing by myself. Daniel in this situation had friends around him saying, I have your back too. And together we're going to show our faith in God that God's going to deliver us from this. Something that amazes me is that I have, I won't get into that story, but the smell of burning flesh and hair is something that you can't get out of your smell. And the fact that when Daniel walked out of the fiery furnace, the Bible says that there was not a smell of smoke on them, and that not even a hair on their body was singed. Something that amazes me, and I ask myself the question, Jake, would you have the faith to walk into a fiery furnace, something that is engulfed in flames? You could feel the heat from across the room. Would you have the faith in God to know I'm about to walk into this flame? But God tells me that I'm going to be okay, and that flame's not even going to touch me. I won't even have nothing singed on me. Would I have that kind of faith? Is that the kind of faith that I would have to say, God, I know you got my back. I ain't worried. Let's go. I'm going to walk in here. Friends, let me be honest with you. I would have a hard time doing that. To know, okay, at this moment, I have a decision to make. I either need to get into the furnace or the lion's den, whichever story we're talking about, or I have to cave in. So even though Daniel was a godly man of integrity and prayer, he also knew that there was a necessity of having good godly friends. What about his friendships? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20, he says, "Forever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And so we talk about the power of prayer and how it's beneficial to pray for one another, how to be there for one another. Someone asked me the other day, they said, "Hey, how come at the end of a sermon, they say, if you need prayers, come forward as we stand and sing?" They were asking about the invitation. And I said, well, it's because you may have trouble in your life. You may have difficulties that you're going through. You may be having struggles that you're facing. And you're fighting them demons by yourself. But if you come and you pray, you let us know, hey, I'm struggling with this, now you have a whole church praying for you. Now you have a whole church family going to God in prayer on your behalf, lifting you up. And there is so much power in prayer when way more people are praying for you than when you're by yourself. Does it work by yourself? Absolutely. I don't mean that. But to know that everyone in the assembly is praying for you and your well-being and your spiritual enrichment and your recovery through whatever thing that you are going through in your life is way more powerful. One can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Deuteronomy 32 and 30, talking about the need to have godly friends with one another. Friends, find friends that pray for you, pray together with you, and pray for you when you are not with them. And that's what Daniel did. That's the kind of friendships that Daniel had. They had his back when he wasn't there. They had his back when he was there. And they prayed for one another and for one another. They went to God in that situation. So what kind of friends do we have? Now, is it wrong to have worldly friends? No, I'm not saying that. But what kind of influences are we allowing in our life? Could those friendships, and this is a personal decision, could the friendships that we make jeopardize the faith that we have in God? And that's a question that you have to ask yourself. Could the friendships that you have jeopardize the faith that you have in God? Do your friends help you get to heaven or drag you away from heaven? And it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's a question that needs to be asked. Because when you talk about faith and what kind of faith that you have, faith that you can move mountains, you can say all day long. The Bible talks about that bad company corrupts good morals. You can say all day long, I'm going to do what's right. But when those bad companies involve you, eventually you are going to fall into that trap and your faith is going to be compromised. And so that's why it's so imperative, like Daniel says, to choose friends that have your best interest at heart. Daniel's favor, this is what verse number 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel found out what was going on with this dream, and immediately he blessed the God of heaven. God gave him the wisdom and the knowledge that he needed to overcome this past. God answered their prayer, and the first thing Daniel did was thank the Lord. Daniel at this moment, or not just this moment, but all the moments, all the situations that he went through, was a very humble man. And the Bible talks about his humility, and he referenced these situations as we and us, and he doesn't refer to it as I. And that's something else that we need to think about as we go throughout our life is and our day-to-day is how do we reference situations? Did I overcome it? Or did me and Jesus overcome it? Did we overcome it together? I can assure you, anything I've overcome has been me and God hand in hand. And together we worked up to it. So he was a very humble man. What the magicians and the stargazers couldn't do, God did. And Daniel gave God the glory to the one that was in heaven. Notice verse number 48. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of priests over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained at the king's court. So something else I want us to realize is that when Daniel got pushed in this situation, into this position, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, I'm up here now. Yeah, thanks for helping me, guys, but I moved up." He said, "This is what I need to do. I have friends; they need to come with." And he had his friends back throughout the situation because of Daniel's faith and his friendships. God gave him favor, and through it all, Daniel didn't forget God or his friends. And so the question that I want to ask us tonight is, what challenges are we facing today? What challenges are we facing in our own personal life? Are we struggling with difficult decisions? Some things that maybe we may feel is impossible? Are we in moments where we feel trapped? We feel down in the hole? We feel as though, like David did, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure David felt as though he could not have a way out. I'm sure at times Daniel would be in his mind, backed in a corner, thinking to himself, "I don't know how this is going to go down." Did he have faith in God? Absolutely. But I'm sure he had moments where he questioned if he was making the right decision. When it came down to the wire, when he actually did get into the fire and he was okay, it was a faith step. That was a faith step to walk into there. It was a faith step to go into the lion's den. It was a faith step to interpret this dream. It was everything that it was done by faith, and that's why he is known as a hero of faith. I want to ask you a question tonight as we close. If you were to die tonight, would they say that you were a person of faith? Would they say to you, would they say about you, "Man, that person was always God, he always knew God had his back. He always knew that God was there for him." Would they be confident in saying, when words are talked about Daniel, they talk about his integrity, his humility, his faith, and the positive things that he did and the trust that he had in God above, knowing that God was going to bring him through every situation that he went through in this life. And throughout it all, nothing negative is said about the man. So what would be said about us? Would they say, "I don't know if they had the faith the way that the Bible says"? Would they say, "Yeah, they had the faith that was needed"? Something to think about in our own personal life. How can I grow? How can I live myself? When we look at the heroes of faith, as we go out to the summer series, all these men were faced with situations. All these men that are on the list were faced with trials. They were all faced with times in their life where they had to make a decision and show what kind of faith they have actually had with God, and show that the faith that they had, that the Almighty was going to pull them out of whatever they were going through. Does sometimes your life maybe seem like Daniel, difficult or impossible? You like how I did that? Sometimes it seem as though maybe there's no way out? You're stuck. You don't know where to go from here. It feels dark. You do not see a light at the end of the tunnel. I want to encourage you tonight, have faith that God can and will bring you out of that situation. God can and will remove you and help you overcome whatever trouble and struggle that you are going through in your life. But it's not just going to happen. You have to go to him. You have to have faith that he will bring you through and that you will overcome. And by having that faith, I promise you, your life will open up. You'll be able to walk freely, and you will be able to say that a weight has literally been lifted off your shoulder. The faith that you have in God, the words I'm trying to say just slipped my mind. Faith is important. That's what I'm trying to say in another way. Faith is real important. What does the world see when they look at you? What does the world see? What do your friends see? What kind of friends do we have? And so tonight, what I would like to close with is, throughout your life, think about yourself in Daniel's terms. Do you have the faith like Daniel would have? If you were faced with these situations, would you have that kind of faith? What kind of friends do we have? Do your friends help you get to heaven, or do they try to help you go the other way? And what kind of favor are you given? What kind of wisdom and knowledge have you been received as you asked? And so tonight, maybe you are faced with those difficult decisions, and you say, you know what? I want to go to God in prayer. I want the church here at Highland Heights to pray with me. I want to have the encouragement. I want to know that everyone here is helping me get to heaven. That's our goal, one step at a time, working together as a church family to get each other to heaven. And so we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to uplift you. We want to check in on you. We want to make sure that you are doing strong. We want to make sure that when we get to judgment, I don't want to get to judgment and someone say, well, how come you didn't worry about this person? How come? Well, I didn't know. Let it be known. Nothing to be ashamed about. Maybe tonight you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I want to have the faith that you talked about. I want to have the faith like Daniel. I want to be known as a man of faith or a woman of faith. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I want to believe that he is. I want to confess. I want to repent of my sins. I want to turn away from this lifestyle of sin. I want to be baptized, fully immersed in water, and I want to rise again a new creature, knowing that God has my back. I can go to him, I can pray to him, and that he's going to answer me, and that he's the one that's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I don't know who you are. You see, friends, there's two options at the end of this life, and the decision is yours is what you want to hear. And so tonight, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, or if we can baptize you, make it known as together we stand and while we sing.